And this show is kind of the comedian's comedy show.
Right. This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of meat out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode 44, and we are jumping off of Mr. Show.
Yeah, I mean, kind of late 90s, I guess for me, the, like, right as I was coming into being a teenager was when Mr. Show was on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
And, very irreverent sketch comedy, very,
It's basically, it's an outgrowing of the post-comedy boom, alt-comedy scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you know, we did Mitchell and Webb a while back, but it's very different
from that. Yes,
you know, whereas this, it hit on stuff in America that actually goes on.
Well, I mean,
you
know, Mitchell and Webb still has the classic comedy voice to it.
Right.
It's a straight man and a funny guy.
And
sometimes they swap, you know, roles, but it's still straight man punchline.
Yeah.
And the alt comedy scene in and of itself was kind of a attempt to go against that paradigm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because it was surprisingly influential considering it wasn't like it was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, you know, I mean, it was on HBO, which at the time had very limited...
Was it on at the same time as The State?
Because
they're somewhat similar.
They're somewhat similar. I would think so. I think The State's kind of mid-late 90s. But yeah, you're right. They are very similar. But it was never seen as that big a, you know, thing at the time.
Yeah.
But it's held up incredibly well.
Right. And in the handful of episodes I saw there, you know, you see Sarah Silverman, you see people who would go on to be bigger names.
Right.
You know,
and it's one of those shows that, you know, it's, I always talk about some comics that I like that are comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is kind of the comedian's comedy show.
Right, right.
You know, this is... A lot of the people that are famous today, you know, kind of draw their influence off of that. If you ever watch Key and Peele,
mm-hmm.
very similar.
Yep.
If you, when Sarah Silverman had her show, talking about her, like I said, it's, you know, a lot of things sort of drew influence from this show, mm-hmm. even though it was never a huge hit.
Right.
But in the, you know, I guess in the circles of comedy, it's held in very, very high regard.
Yeah, and... Yeah, the comedian's comedian thing is, it's, yeah, you know, there are comedians out there that the general public doesn't really
get. Yeah.
But the comedy community rallies behind them and keeps them going because they understand the absolute level of craft behind what they're doing.
Norm MacDonald is the perfect example.
Oh, I always thought Norm MacDonald was fucking hilarious, but...
But he's
so dry.
Right, he's so dry, and he doesn't always come out with the same shtick.
Yeah.
I was watching, I forget which roast it was, but Norm MacDonald was on it. I think it was Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm.
But don't hold me to that. But Norm MacDonald came out and gave the driest, like, dad joke-filled set that I've ever watched. And the audience didn't get it.
Right.
The comedians on the stage were falling over.
Right.
You know, because he's just delivering these, you know, his timing was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes were perfect.
But they were awful.
Yeah.
But they were perfectly
exactly.
awful.
Exactly. And that's what I always like about Norm MacDonald is that he is... Sometimes I have to watch his stuff two or three times to really get how good it is.
Yeah.
And he is, to me, like, he's one of the better examples of that comedian's comedian.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm no comic, but, you know, I think that's really what keeps him going, is that the community just sort of keeps rallying behind him because they know how good he is.
And he's also on your mind because he was on a fantasy football show a couple days ago. Podcast.
No,
I heard it.
I'm still trying to figure out how to get Adrian Peterson's replacement in some of my leagues.
Ziato is pretty much available.
No, not Ziato. Ozzie Hutt is never going to be the guy.
Well, Ozzie Hutt, we're talking fantasy football now. Ozzie Hutt is not going to be the guy, but he's going to be the goal line guy, so he's going to be the one getting more points. But anyway, it just depends on what you want. If you want the workload with, you know, just getting down the field, you want Jerick McKinnon. But if you want the guy who comes in and gets 20 yards and two touchdowns, you want Ozzie Hutt, and that's more points. So anyway.
Meanwhile, back at the Avocado Ranch, like I said, it's very influential. The Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, that was on Comedy Central Cartoon Network for a while. Very, very similar.
Yeah,
you know, it's. I didn't like it as much as I liked Mr. Show because I thought they were a little too off the wall.
Yeah, they go kind of really far out on the tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like I said, you can
Mr. Show is still you can still recognize it as a sketch show.
Yes, it's Tim and Eric, not always.
Yeah, it's not so far off in left field that you don't see the sketch and know that the sketch is happening.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, but it's like I said, it holds up well, and it was very, very influential.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hilarious.
Okay,
and I mean, plus, you know. It's nice to see it. Like, David Cross, he did Arrested Development, which was nice. And Bob Odenkirk pops up all over the place. And
the Bob Margaret thing?
The increasingly poor decisions of Bob Margaret.
That's it.
Yeah, he's in that. Like I said, Bob Odenkirk pops up most famously in Breaking Bad.
Right.
Well, as the sleazy lawyer.
For the most part, Odenkirk went on to be a writer.
Right. And he's written so much good stuff.
Yeah,
it's... I mean, I would have to go to Wikipedia to properly list off everything good Bob Odenkirk has done.
Or IMDb. Hello.
That's true.
That is the proper movie database.
Yeah.
Internet movie database, even. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm in his filmography. I mean, it's what he did before that. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I escaped the influence of Mr. Show mostly because I've never been one to pay for HBO.
Right. See, my parents were.
Yeah.
That was while I was living at home.
So I missed out on Fraggle Rock. I missed out on all kinds of good stuff. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I won't hold it against my parents too much.
You shouldn't.
Yeah. It's on Hulu now, so I can.
Exactly.
I can watch the Fraggles anytime.
Yeah, and it's Fraggle Rock. Like, I think I remember Fraggle Rock. I don't think I ever remember watching Fraggle Rock.
It's because it was on HBO.
Why would you put that show on HBO?
Because that's where it was.
Hi, we need to do a Muppet show.
Yeah.
Fraggle Rock. Well, I mean, it was a Jim Henson show, wasn't it?
Sesame Street's on HBO now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not on PBS anymore?
Nope. They needed more budget. To properly make the show. It's on HBO, and then after 6 months, it comes over to PBS. So first run is on HBO.
Huh. Yep. That is absolutely surprising. Like, I guess I don't keep up with TV that well, but...
And they've really revamped the format. It's like a half-hour thing now instead of an hour.
Yeah.
And it's much more condensed and, I guess, internet-friendly.
Well, and I mean, on top of that, I think attention spans have gotten shorter.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe 30 minutes is the optimal time?
Maybe.
But I just know everybody was mad because all the cast members left.
Well, and that's part of it. You know, they're recycling over into a younger cast because...
The other cast has been on
since 1970, right, whatever.
Like, yeah,
I mean, you know, it's time for... It's not like they're being forced out the door.
Right, yeah.
They want to retire, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And that, you know, that gave Sesame Workshop the ability to continue going with the quality that they want to provide.
That's cool, yeah. So, I guess I should have been a little more aware with that, but yeah, I had no idea.
Because you don't have small children.
That is correct. Yeah, no small kids means I don't pay attention to Sesame Street anymore.
Aww. So you don't even know what the number of the day is. Yeah.
Three! Am I right?
I don't know.
See,
I mean, I don't have HBO.
Oh yeah, that's true. And then we're right back around to the problem of you don't have HBO.
Yeah. So if you ever pick Game of Thrones, I don't know. I don't know how I'd watch that because I'm not buying it.
Ah, but it's so good.
Yeah, that's nice.
What I wind up doing is I will wind up like paying for HBO Go for like 2 or 3 months at a time.
Or HBO Now.
Or HBO Now, whatever it is, yeah. Watch all the Game of Thrones and then just cancel it again.
Okay.
So I treat it.
That's what you do with all of your streaming services.
It pretty much is, yeah.
You're a stream hopper
person. I do. I'm not loyal. These bitches ain't loyal.
I just live with what I got and find something to watch.
Well, I'm pretty much back to where I have Netflix full time.
Yeah,
because
which is good because Luke Cage is coming out in 8 days. Yeah,
well, and plus my wife and I got into a show that we may wind up doing later called Dark Matter.
Have you seen? Okay. It? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we're into Dark Matter.
I've seen some of it.
Yeah, we're into Dark Matter right now. So we've. Okay. We got lucky and hit on Stranger Things, and now we're like, all right, well, let's see what else we can pull out of Netflix.
Yeah,
you know? So
yeah.
Now we're starting to binge watch TV shows because all of our like stupid summer TV shows that mm-hmm. we watched all summer are all done.
And so. Really, a lot of the shows that would have ended up on HBO in the 90s are what Netflix and Amazon are picking up now. And that's why they're winning freaking Emmys.
Yeah, which is crazy. Which is,
yeah, just 3-4 years ago, that would have been unheard of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you'd have said, well, not only are we...
Orphan Black won, and that's a BBC show.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad it did, because the Sci-Fi Channel one that they came out with, like the American Orphan Black, was terrible.
What'd they do that for?
I don't know. But they tried to bring out, like, they even brought in, like, Lenora Crutchlow and everything for Orphan Black, and it...
No.
It just wasn't good.
It's, I mean, that's what they try to do that with any good British series. They try to bring it over to the U.S. and the only one that's really worked is The Office.
Yeah,
and yeah,
but
and
that Office is so different from the British Office. It's almost unrecognizable.
Well, I mean, the first few episodes because
The first season is shot for shot, right?
Well, it can't be because you know The Office is only a four episode.
Well, that's what I meant. The first four episodes are are shot for shot, yeah. The British Office.
Right.
And there might be the four least funny episodes in the whole show.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but... I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, though. It's... You can't just cut and paste over here. Like,
I mean, they did that with Being Human.
Yeah.
And I heard it was okay. It went a few seasons, but... You know, shit goes a few seasons on Sci-Fi.
Right.
You know, Sharknado keeps popping up. I mean, come on. You're not looking at quality programming here.
At this point, Sharknado is a parody of Sharknado.
Well, yeah. Like, it's, yeah.
Like, they just know what it is. And they're like, you know what? Sharknado 5? You're damn right.
I actually saw on Facebook, somebody did a D&D map with miniatures and
they
built
the
Sharknado on it. Yeah, I was like, okay.
The DM really wants to kill the party
and ran out of ideas. Yeah,
that's what the little green man is for.
No, you just use the Demogorgon.
Yeah, there you go.
But we'll talk about him next time.
Yeah, we will. But no, it's I mean, it's.
But we're talking about comedy this time.
Yes, tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight. Anybody listening to this gets that reference, tell me you're my hero, and we'll hang out later. Because I don't even think you get that reference.
No. They're supposed to tell you that they're your hero? Is that what they're supposed to do?
Yes.
So that's send I'm your hero to I'm that Joe you know on
Twitter.
Yeah,
pretty much. No, it's a
and
very...
he never checks his Twitter, so he'll never know.
Yeah. But when I do find out... It'll be cool, yeah. So if you get the reference, just put it on the Facebook page. It'll make me happy. Because it's a very obscure reference from a semi...
Don't narrow it down! Don't narrow it down!
Well, no, it is. It's sort of a line from a Broadway play from like the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I might know two people that would get it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that what I would reference. Yeah. Just randomly.
Pretty much.
And be like, why the fuck don't you get that? That was fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen that show. That show's hilarious. It really is good.
Why don't you laugh when I say, are we the baddies?
Yeah.
What do you mean that most people haven't seen Mitchell and Webb?
Yeah.
What?
But yeah, it's, like I said, I really... to me, shows like Mr. Show are things we need. Mm-hmm. And we always seem to have one. I mean, it's sort of progressed, you know.
Yeah.
We had The State, and we've had this, and we've had...
Well, it's like, it's pretty much an outgrowing of the UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade, which which is the West Coast kind of alt answer to the improv in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's these improvisational comedy
troops,
and they have classes and you know, and it's basically schools.
Yeah.
Where people go to improve their comedy chops, and so we have these pressure cookers, maybe, of just comedy, you know, comedy being built up, and cooked up.
That's what improv does. I mean, it mm-hmm. forces you to start always being in that mindset of comedy, and always having something at the ready, because you don't know what's going to come up, so it's really learning to kind of punch counterpunch,
yeah,
and always sort of having that guard up of being ready to be funny at a moment's notice,
right,
or to have something witty to say.
But Mr. Show kind of, you wonder how much was scripted and how much was just, here's an idea, let's do this,
right?
You know,
and personally, you're right, because you know how good a writer both of these guys are.
Yeah.
So they very easily could have sat in a room and written the whole thing out shot for shot.
Right.
But
and then changed it on the spot while they're in the middle of the scene.
Right.
You know? So,
but to me, that's what all the really good comics do, is that they're able to...
It's like, I know we wrote it like this, but it would be awesome if I did this instead.
Yes, but isn't this funny? Yes, it is. So we're going to roll with it.
Exactly.
But no, like I said, I mean, that's what all good comics do. I mean, wasn't the old thing, like, Bill Murray had, like, two scripted lines in Caddyshack? Like, everything else was just him screwing off, you know? Whatever was funniest at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all good comics can think on the fly and just have something up. You know, it's... I even went to, a little local comedy show last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's doing his set, and you can tell he's just about to go for his closer. You know, his go-home joke, his best joke. And, like, the spider drops down off the ceiling, like, in plain view of everyone, including him, and he flips clean the fuck out. And so he goes on this, like, 5-minute rant on this spider, and, like, what the hell is this? And, you know, it was just doing this whole thing, and so just on the fly, just boom, he went into a different closer. And then, you know, finished out his set with that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's... He very easily could have just ignored it and went with the joke. But he saw it, and he saw that we saw it.
Yeah.
So that's what he had to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can appreciate that. There's a craft to that.
Yeah. And a good dungeon master or role-playing, you know, game master will do the same thing.
Always.
You know, you throw all kinds of shit out, and you see what people look at.
Yeah.
And you go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, well, I kind of intended to do this, but you guys paid attention to this.
Yeah.
So this is what's going to kill you, not what I was thinking was going to kill you.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's, you know. Then, of course, you always get, like, the random, you know, player that just decides to pull something out of his ass
mm-hmm.
and ruin the entire session because, like, and I think I've told you this before, we had a session where we were all sitting there, and it was the very beginning of the session. Like, he had this huge, elaborate dungeon laid out. And it was one of those, like, he wanted to do one of those foreshadowing things. He said, you know, here on this ledge, you see a shadowy figure looking out over the city.
Shoot it!
So my friend was like, I'm going to shoot a lightning bolt. Not at him, at the ledge.
Yes. I cannot kill it with a lightning bolt. But I can kill the ledge.
Right. And so it was one of those, really? Okay. And so he rolled, and he rolled a 20.
You killed Batman.
And then he rolled, yeah, I know, right? And then he rolled his 100-sided dice to see how good of a crit it was, and he rolled like a 99.
Damn.
And so he just obliterates the ledge. This guy falls like 10 stories to his death. Because he wasn't expecting it. It's not like he, you know, had anything prepared. He was just falling.
He can't block an attack on
a ledge beneath him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, and he even tried to make, like, a save, or, like, he casts fly to, like, fly away, and he failed because he was falling. And splat, he died.
Game over. Go pretty home.
Well, then we all had to run over there to see what kind of crap he had on him.
Yeah. Well, it's like the D&D game we were playing, where, you know, we go into this town, and, okay, we're this small ragtag group, and we're trying to make change, and we're heading to the capital city, and we settle down, and I'm like, okay, I'm the cleric, I'm going to go talk to the local priest, and Alex was like, okay, well, I'll randomly roll what their local religion is, and he rolls that it's mercenaries. The whole town is fucking mercenaries, and I'm like, we have so much money.
Yeah.
We have accumulated so much money and we don't have anything to spend it on. And I'm in good with the mercenary priest now.
Yeah.
We're going to hire an army.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And and
we had so much gold.
We never finished that campaign because I think it just got overwhelming because, you know, we were going into the Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah, but we have one of the five armies this time.
Yes.
We weren't just strolling up with four dudes. Yeah, we were like, hey, we brought an army. You guys, go.
Go.
I'm going to hang back and just throw some shit.
Because that's what we all, you know, we didn't really have a good tank.
No.
You know, we had throw shit guys.
Yeah.
But we had enough money to buy mercenaries.
Yeah,
and
we bought a tank.
Completely,
an army of tanks.
Completely derailed the game. And you know, he claims that you know, real life stepped in and he couldn't do it. But I think it's because we bought those fucking mercenaries.
It might have been. That being said,
I don't have time to prep for the game. Well, that's because we just made the prep 800 times more harder. Complex.
Yeah, because now you've got to come up with a bigger army to beat up our army.
So yeah. You have to make sure we're the underdogs going in.
It's not. I mean, it's, you know, it's. I do it on Skyrim all the time. Like, I've played through the side quests so many times that by the time I actually get to the bosses, I'm like, oh, chop, chop, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yay!
Didn't we talk about that kind of last time?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's where we were at with that D&D game. It was so overpowering that, oh, I don't have to worry about any orcs or, you know, anything popping out of the woods because, army, go get them!
It's like, you have to go through the orc kingdom to get to the capital. Okay. What's the issue?
Are there any orc mercenaries? Because we still got some gold left.
Yeah, we can hire them and just throw them on. It's not that big a deal.
So we brought four of the five armies to this fight. We gonna win, guys.
We gonna win.
That being said, we need to get a D&D game back up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing. Let's see here. I'm doing Vampire now, once a month, and then I've got Changeling next year. The problem is, you know, having time on weekdays, which is when you're available.
No, now that I'm, well, and see, that's the problem. Now I'm going to, with work and everything, I will be coming off my regular job.
Yeah, yeah, and we don't know where you're going.
The board.
Yeah, so then it's even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, it's.
I know Curtis, who is the co-host on Critical Hints, find it anywhere you found this one. He's working on, he's got a Shadowrun game that he's been building up. He's got Edge of the Empire game, Star Wars.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's working on, and there's another system that that his fiance is working on. So, you know, there will be games to be had, but it's just a matter of
getting everything together,
of timing, and yeah, and. I don't know what I'll be available to play, but because I'm basically doing once a month because that's what fits.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And for me, if I go back on my old job, then I'm going to be the one that has to just come up with stuff on the fly because I might be free. I might have to work. You never know. You know,
yeah. And that sucks for planning something that's going to be a recurring thing.
Right, yeah. Right. But I say that because I found my old, like, quintessential sorcerer books that I had from, like, college.
The stuff that doesn't really work anymore.
You can make it fit.
Yeah.
Like, at least it... The best part about those books, it still gives you...
Is it 3.5 or...?
I think it's 2.
Oh, okay. Well, then...
I think. That's... I'd have to look at them.
So it has, like, Thaco and shit.
Yes.
Okay, well, then that's 2. And no one's ever going back there, ever.
Yeah, but they're great.
And you're too far away from the microphone.
I'm not too far away from the microphone.
Actually called the quintessential
sorcerer. Yes, it's called the quintessential sorcerer. And you go through...
Oh, this is D20, so it's not even official D&D.
Yeah, that's right. So it will adapt very well. But if anything, it just gives you backstories, and it gives you different, you know, sort of little, like, subclasses and backgrounds, and it's really cool. I mean, it's... That's the beauty of D&D, though, is that somebody can just write
a
book.
Well, they have, like, with the 5th edition, or whatever they're calling it now, which they're just calling it D&D, they have their open gaming license, which allows for people to use their system and just write supplements. And if you jump in their Dungeon Master Guild, I believe is what it's called, then they have... set artwork that you can use also, as long as you publish it, you know, through to Dungeon Master Guild, through DriveThruRPG.
Yeah.
Which, why wouldn't you want to do that anyway?
Right.
You know, it's semi-sanctioned that way.
Yeah.
And,
and
you're getting to use free artwork.
Right. And on top of that, you know, when you've got a community like that, that are inherently fairly creative people, because you have to be creative to play D&D.
Yeah. So whether or not you can explain what's in your head in prose on paper.
Right. Right. But when you've got such a creative community, it's best to not try to stifle that. Like, hey, if you've got a good idea, run with it.
Well, and the game companies have gotten, you know, like with everything else, there's smaller margins than basically everything had their boom in the 90s.
Right.
You know, every type of media had a boom in the 90s. And... The game companies have their margins have narrowed, so they have the money to invest in making the core books.
Yeah.
But you know, Wizards of the Coast has realized they don't have the money to do all these little supplements. So basically, they're open sourcing it and letting the community build the supplements.
Yeah, which is cool. Like I said, it allows for. You know,
and I really wish White Wolf would wake up and do that.
Right.
And you know, allow me to publish all the crap that I have written.
But that's like I said, the beauty of it is, you know, D&D and role-playing games in general have always been very DIY.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people will write their own stuff and you have to write your own campaigns
that. There are those that use the manual, that use the modules. The modules and
campaign in a can is what
do their Adventurers League, which is your sanctioned events. But you know, I've always played in those make up your own shit games,
right?
Which
because those are always more fun because you can roll with the punches if they come up with something different. If they want to go left and you want them to go right, well, I guess we're going left. You know, we're gonna have to figure out something to do. You know,
right
while you're over there. I'm going to throw some shit at you while I write out what left is, actually, because I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. You were going to run into a cave in that forest, and, you know, hey, that cave was actually in the mountain over here. You know, it's just a cave.
Cave's a cave.
It's no longer forest trolls, it's hill trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're in the hill.
Yeah.
Or
forest trolls got lost.
Or it's, why are these forest trolls over here?
Exactly. But yeah,
did someone to burn down their forest? Is that why they're mad?
Did they think you did it?
Yes. You look like the guy who burnt down their forest. Did you burn down their forest?
They will always assume it's Zach every time because his characters always look shady.
Well, he's gonna stab him 5 times in the back before anybody else can do anything.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, you know, I blame him too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going back to it. Yeah, improv is fun. And, you know, it's, I think where America in a lot of ways really fell in love with improv was Whose Line.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and
which is a British show that they brought over. But they kept it British.
Right. It is still extremely, at least down to the cast members, it is pretty much the same.
You had a couple of British guys and, you know, maybe they bring in American Wayne Brady, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a hit. Well, I don't know if hit is the right word, but the British version was popular on the Comedy Network or...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Comedy Channel. Comedy Central, whatever.
Yeah. Before they imported it in.
Right.
And gave Drew Carey the hosting spot.
Which is good. He's just dry enough for Drew Carey to be the host, you know. Because he's got his own comedy chops. Yeah. So he can play off of them. And
he doesn't have to... He doesn't have to do much. You know, The improv speaks for itself, and then he throws in a little one-liner at the end.
Right, you know? Well, and he's kind of the setup guy, you know. He's, you know, hey, you're going to do, you know...
You're going to do this ludicrous thing. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys are so good.
Yes.
That, you know, boom, it's hilarious every time.
Yes.
So my friend posted something. I guess Richard Simmons was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Okay.
And it's the funniest thing I have seen in a while. Like, just look up... Richard Simmons
on Whose Line?
Whose Line Is It? Yeah, Richard Simmons has a great time.
Awesome. Well, and that, you know, if people are having a good time doing it, you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Because if someone shows up for improv and gets out on the screen and they're freaking out, you can tell they're freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's how the energy goes. So, you know, there's a certain comfort that has to be there in order for it to work with the audience. We are over 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're talking about D&D and time just
woo-hoo.
Flutters away.
That's what happens on the Critical Hints podcast.
Yeah. Throwing it back.
Next time we are going to jump off of Stranger Things, which we said last time that we would be doing. And, you know... We try to do older things, but Stranger Things is full of older things.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that and discuss all the retro great, you know, nostalgia stuff.
Yes.
That entails. I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram.
I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. I'm the Joe you know on Twitter.
And you can follow the show on Facebook or on any podcast app. Thing aggregator. I also have a new podcast called Southern Fried Ambition, where I'm doing the Nerdist style interviews with everyday people, and I think it's come out well so far. And
cool,
I'm continuing it. And that's it. And we will talk at you next time.
This has been a Southern Geek podcast.